I want to explore the mystery. Oh, the mystery. Do we love mysteries or what? I think now most of us know I like the buts and the if, especially when it comes from Scripture. But if we have inquiry, then we're somehow removed from our language, we'd suffer one of the greatest losses of our human spirit, because inquiry intrigues us and drives us to learn, to evolve, to flex our brains, and to do better as human species. Praise be to God. Now, I think, in fact, one of the first words of human toddlers is always, why? Because inquiring humans want to know. We want to know everything. In fact, did you know that adults ask approximately 30 questions daily, and kids are even more inquisitive? Studies show that kids ask anywhere from 300 to 400 questions per day. And the number declines somewhat as we age. At least I think it does. Perhaps we are just less vocal with our internal questioning, but no matter how you look at it, even if the kind of learning varies from one person to another, we essentially crave knowledge, like we crave strawberry ice cream or chocolate ice cream. You know, we are, in a sense, innately born detectives. We just have a kind of sense about us that, I always said, you don't have to be a good pastor, but you got to be a good detective. Because if you're a good detective and you inquire about the scriptures and you share the good news with everyone, then you become a good pastor. Well, anyhow, I digress. Because always searching for answers to questions that taunt us and won't let us go until we find out. Admit it. Who here isn't working in the middle of the night with a burning need to look up the penguin sleep or what a animal likes to eat? Or some other secret of nature or the world that grabs our mind and won't let us go until we find out. Now, I don't know about you, but I got some crazy dreams, and I wonder about that. Talk about earworms. You know, we talked about that a long time ago, about music and how music will sort of get in your ear, and it just becomes part of your spirit, and you understand that. But now, look and see what they've done with modern technology, a musical piece. They put it in their ear when they're singing. Well, mindworms are just as stubborn or even more tenacious. Now, with the prevalence of the Internet, we don't have to wait. Mr. Google is there day and night just to answer our most ardent questions and even ridiculous questions. The amount of trivial knowledge that we can gobble up has increased to seismic proportions. But, you know, I love the buts and the if, but more seriously, not all knowledge comes in tidbit form. Think for a moment about some of the greatest mysteries of our time that continue to haunt us and to plague our brains. Especially in the middle of the night when we can't sleep. Now, everybody has probably heard of the great mystery of Amelia Earhart, and always wondered about that. She was the first woman pilot to try to fly around the world, and she was very famous. But what about some of the other manuscripts that we can't find anymore, or UFOs, or paranormal, or even the Big Bang Theory, or dark energy? The nature of consciousness and the great pyramids and the lost cities and strange crimes has never been solved. Bigfoot, now that's one, or even the Bermuda Triangle, or the Ark of the Covenant and the origin of life itself. And then we have the incarnation, one of the most intriguing mysteries because it's so hard to wrap our heads around it. The scripture today, the disciple of Jesus, the one that Jesus loved, the gospel writer John, takes a stab at it. Meanwhile, at the same time, this Sunday, here we are celebrating a miracle, the mystery of the Epiphany. Now, the Greek word epiphany means to reveal or to make manifest, and when we suddenly come up with an answer, we say, oh, I had an epiphany. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, some of the answers or solutions have been revealed to us for sure. Our inquiring minds can be for the moment at rest, But an epiphany can also be a mystery revealed, like a timeless mystery that I mentioned earlier. Now, this one will never be solved, but will continue to intrigue us through the annals of time. The Christian church describes epiphany at the moment that Christ had been revealed to the entire world through the visit of the Magi, led by a guiding divine light. Now, nobody knows exactly how the Magi or the Gentiles from the eastern countries who had been studying the signs of Jewish history and prophecy recognized the sign of the light coming into the world. No one knows exactly what prompted them urgently to mount up their caravan and get their camels and make a beeline towards Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, bringing royal gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts that were fit for a king. Nobody knows exactly why Joseph trusted his God, directed in dreams, saving Jesus' life, and then keeping him safe for all those years. Definitely nobody knows how a baby born could be the incarnation of God, the creator of the universe, present before the advent of time. No one knows exactly why and how this amazing epiphany of God came to save us from ourselves and change the world as we know it. No, we will never really know, I don't think, but our minds will keep wandering and wondering, because those kinds of mysteries and miracles of God remind us of the part of the human being that we say, we are trusting in the mystery. You know, we call it faith. So we live in a world surrounded by vastness that we will never really know. Each and every day, we accept certain things about our lives and our world that we'll never really comprehend. I just don't understand all that. Well, we find a level of contentment, knowing just enough of what we need to know so that we can function with confidence, just as the amount of what we don't know and keeps us striving and growing and learning and evolving as human beings. This keeps us humble in the presence of God. So when we look at the scriptures, we find that kind of preface, something that sets the tone for the Gospel of John. Before we ever learn anything about the human Jesus, his teaching, or the mission that he has set for us, we first learn that his life, his presence, his very beginning on this earth was a great epiphany, an incarnational miracle of God Almighty, divine light manifested in the flesh, incarnation act of God's grace that went largely unrecognized and even misunderstood in its time and yet changed the world for all time. No matter how much we don't understand or how much we don't know about Jesus or we don't understand what Jesus told us, the disciple John wants to make sure that we understand what the Magi understood these many years ago. That when Jesus was born, an epiphany took place. So huge, so great, so vast that we can't possibly truly understand it or incur to know how this child in the flesh was to see the face of God. Mary, did you know? I love that song. To be in the presence of Jesus was to experience God's grace, love, and truth in the flesh. Now, Jesus made God known in a new and accessible way. Yet, John tells us right at the start, few understood what they were experiencing. Or even as they stood in the midst and witnessed it, they still didn't understand what they were witnessing. So today, as we continue to celebrate the epiphany of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the time that God broke through into our world in a tangible, touchable way that we'll never truly understand. But, you know, I like the buts and the ifs. It's okay. And I think that's what John's trying to tell us and what the Magi already knew. We don't have to have all the answers packed up neatly in a box with a bow on top. No, it's the way the mystery keeps us connected to God, with whom our minds and our hearts continue to seek and to inquire. This is the mystery of faith. Faith for us simply requires us an active commitment to inquiring and knowing something bigger and greater than ourselves. To know God is to embrace the mystery, to know, to live that twilight place where we discern but we cannot touch and feel. And we can't even nail it down. But, I love the buts, for God cannot be nailed down. We know that through the epiphany of the resurrection. And that's the most humbling of all. The epiphany, most of all, is a time in which we reveal and revel in our own humility, even as we celebrate the mystery of Christ. Because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, we have hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's all of us, whosoever believe shall not perish but have eternal life. What a blessing. What an epiphany. So whether you come to the table this morning, as we always do communion on the first Sunday, with the knowledge that he is here for you and with you, just to knock you off of your feet and put you on your knees, well, praise be to God. For he sent his Son into this world that we can have a personal relationship with God the Creator, who revealed himself to us in a personal way. And we have a personal relationship with us. Now that's a true epiphany. Amen. God loves you and so do we. Hope to see you soon.